But Dad, isn't it time for illegal ham interface?
But bro, where's the banjo?
Some Cleveland sports shows try to give you hot takes, but only one can give you a big old piece of hot ham. Welcome to Illegal Ham to the Face. Talking all Cleveland sports. And don't forget our Fat Boy Tuesday, where we also ham it up with some fun food topics. Without further ado, let's serve up some ham. Here are the Ham Boys. Fatty. And Big Bri.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome on into Illegal Ham to the Face. I am that fat guy, Jared Fatty Bates. He is Big Bri. What is going on, big fella? I hear Lil. Mom must be home.
Something's going on out there. Oh, I'm boy. Good. How you doing?
I'm doing great, brother. We've had a great couple days here in Cleveland. Sun's been shining. It's beautiful. Got a few things to talk about here coming up. But other than that, man, it's been a great time. We had the solar eclipse. Bri, how awesome was that solar eclipse?
Unbelievable. I mean, anybody who was kind of poo-pooing it kind of looks like an idiot now, because that was, I mean, anytime something like that happens once in your lifetime, you got to experience it, even if it's only for 3 minutes. So to me, it lived up to the billing. It was pretty awesome. And, you know, anytime you can sit around, we did a picnic with about 15, 20 people, a lot of family, spend time with family, a couple cold beers were had. And anytime you can do that on a Monday, it's a good day.
Yeah. I had to work Monday. So a couple people cut out early, but I was still there. I was taking care of some stuff. You know how it goes on the golf course there, big fella. The kids enjoyed it. We had some family come up, just take a look at it, just wanted to see it and how awesome it was. And man, I'll tell you what, Bri, like I'm sitting there watching it through the glasses and I'm watching it get closer and closer as everybody was. And then all of a sudden, when you got the total cover, are you smiling at your wife right now?
She's playing with the dog. I got to close the door. She's going nuts. Sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
Very distracting.
How's baby mom doing?
Good. Tons of energy, apparently.
Is she ready to pop yet? Hold on.
No.
Ask her if she's done with the pregnancy.
Is she done with it? Are you done with the pregnancy? Oh, yeah. There's a head nod.
Yep, she's over it. That's about you're right in that nuclear time where they're just done with it, where they want the baby now.
Yeah. New pains every day. Some pains get worse. Some pains get better. But there's always something, it seems. So.
Are you taking the back rubs and rubbing the feet and everything like you should do as a wonderful husband that you are?
I would say I'm probably doing it too much. You would probably say I'm not doing it enough. So depends on who you ask.
That is true. I understand that. Bri, just in case, you know, here in the next couple of days, we got a massage gun from like Amazon for like $20. You ever see those little
wonders?
Yeah.
Yep, we got one.
As much as possible.
I worry. And she does.
Don't put it on the front, buddy. You don't.
Even on the back, man. I get nervous with all the vibrations. I don't know. Call me a nervous dad. You know the old adage about first babies to second babies. Second babies are very relaxed, very casual. First babies, you're like treating them, holding them with kid gloves all day long, even when they're still in the womb.
Bubble wrap and everything. Just that kid ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, right.
All right, we'll get back to the. I'm sorry. I just love babies. I'm so happy for you. I'm excited about the date coming up. I mean, you got what? You're on the final countdown. You got about what? 3 weeks left?
About a month, a little over a month. So, but. We're in that window. I think I was talking to Phillips at the diaper party. He said his wife went 7 weeks early. So
we're within
the 7 weeks.
All right. Well, hey, right now you're kind of in the good threshold, though. You made it pretty good so far. lot of people don't.
Oh, believe me, I know. Believe me, every checkup, every doctor's appointment that goes well, I thank the good Lord for that, because it's out of my hands.
It's out of everybody's hands. It's when that baby wants to come. Yeah. You could be like me, because I think I hibernated. My mom always told me that I was supposed to be around the first week of April, and she said you hibernated in there for like another 2 weeks. She goes, they finally had to induce labor to get you out. I'm like, well, obviously I didn't want to come out.
Oh, I was the opposite. I came out off very early, so we're a little on the opposite ends of the spectrum there.
Yeah, she said I came out looking like a Thanksgiving turkey. She's like, you're like 10 pounds. You're 22 inches long. I'm like, I'm sorry. Sorry about that, Mom.
Covered in gravy from birth, huh?
Just, yep. Everything coming out. It wasn't even screaming. It was like a squeal from, Deliverance. All right. So going back to the total eclipse, the solar eclipse, man, it was as soon as we got totality and you could take the glasses off and actually look up at the sun and just see how awesome that was, Bri. Like, that's a lifetime experience that you'll never have. I do have to say for everybody that overshot the packed roads and everything else that was going to happen here in Cleveland, and especially $80 parking downtown, Bri. What the was that?
That's a Browns game.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous.
I heard people were tailgating in the muni lot for it. That's Cleveland for you. I love that.
There it is. And people setting off fireworks like it's the 4th of July. We had a whole bunch of those. We shot the goose gun at work. Scared the crap out of some people. So it was great. I enjoyed every minute of it. Once in a lifetime thing, Bri. We're probably not going to see it the rest of our lifetime. I'm glad my kids got to enjoy it. Maybe they get to catch the next one before it, comes back. But as of right now, dude, what an amazing spectacle. I'm so glad that I was able to stop, see it. I am so happy that the rain moved out and then it was just straight sunshine, because there was questions about that weather front and it was supposed to stick around a little bit longer. And they're like, you might see it, you might not. And, thank the good Lord that he came through with a wind gust, and there it was, just one gorgeous spectacle for everybody to see.
Yeah, I mean, Sunday and Monday were two of the most beautiful days, weather days of the year so far, I think. So I took advantage of it. We did a little pub crawl here in Medina. Aunt and uncle were in town from Chicago, so we kind of just meandered around the city, walking from bar to bar, and I found out that six bars on a pub crawl is about one or two too many for me.
Nice.
Ain't as good as I once was, that's for sure.
I want to let everybody know we are recording right now. Bri had to change his schedules due to baby coming up, so he'll be in Erie this week, so we're recording on Wednesday. So as of right now, the Guardians are playing. The Cavs are probably playing right now too, I believe. So we'll get into that stuff here a little bit later. We're going to talk our top three hot dog toppings. Okay. Now it doesn't have to go all together, even though we got a whole bunch of responses with all three together, but just your favorite hot dog toppings that you like on a hot dog. We'll get into that. Fat Boy Thursday, we have to revamp the weird desserts stuff that I brought up last week because we didn't get into it. We are going to talk Cavs. We are going to talk Guardians, losing their ace for the year, which is killer. We're going to try to talk Masters. We're going to talk NCAA Men's and Women's Championship. And if we have time, we'll start talking a little bit about the Browns draft. But this is kind of all-around show for us. And this is a kind of fun show for me and Bri to do because, we're kind of in that doldrum season where everybody's kind of talking Browns draft. We kind of know what they're doing. They don't have a first-round pick. They don't have the number one overall pick. So we can kind of veer off and do some fun sports topics that we like to do, like especially the Men's Championship and the Masters coming up, actually starting tomorrow on Thursday. So, Bri, do you have any shout-outs this week, brother?
I kind of already got into them, so I'll pass it to you for that one.
All I got to do right now is I got a shout-out. Harold Keeler and Lake Erie APA. Got to shout City Dogs of Cleveland. We have plenty of dogs to show tonight for our trivia. Everybody, the kennels are full. They've had a past couple days of an influx. I got about 20 pictures of puppies available for adoption. And we'll go through that at trivia. So if you can, please go adopt and help out City Dogs Cleveland. Got to thank my beautiful wife for everything she's done this past weekend and everything. Hopefully she gets on the mend. Dude, she pinched a nerve somewhere. She is not a happy camper right now. And I'm telling you what, when it snipes you, Bri, it snipes you good. And she's been like this for a couple weeks now. It's not good. Mm-hmm. So trying to get that fixed. Boys got their report cards. They did very well. So I, shout out to them.
Sweet.
And then other than that, just that's all I got, bud. It's springtime. It's beautiful out. Go enjoy the weather when it's not raining. Because, hey, next up, summer, 90. Gotta love it.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
The Masters is like the start of it all.
Oh, I know.
After this, hopefully, and certainly we live in Northeast Ohio, so we still could get snow. And we've certainly seen Aprils and Mays where it just rains 4 or 5 days a week. And so it could be disgusting, but at least there's a window here for it to kind of open up. And who knows, maybe play a little golf before too long.
Now, you'll have to refresh my memory, Bri, because I remember a spring where we had an unusual April. It was above, it was like 70s for like, it had to be 10 days in a row. No rain, no nothing. And then we got to May and it was like 40. It was like the May and April flipped and we just had a crappy year. You remember, even snowed in May. It snowed in May.
I remember May 5th, May 7th, maybe it's snowing. I think I was in Toledo at the time still. So it was like 2005, I want to say, April 20th. We got like a foot of snow. So it's still a possibility, no matter how much we don't want to think about it.
I know. But feels so good, especially when you get those 70-degree days. And especially for the Indians or the Guardians home opener. I keep doing it too, Bri. Guardians home opener, what a special turnout that was, and a big win for the Guardians that day. So, Bri, let's get into our show. Let's have some fun. We'll do our trivia. I'll play the sounder here in just a second, but our trivia is brought to you by City Dogs Cleveland. So if you can, please go adopt, help, and if you can't adopt, donate, volunteer, whatever you can do to help out. And, Bri, also, Top Dog Tailgate, May the 4th be with you, May 4th. They're doing their tailgate at WJ Lodge in Berea. It is a $25 donation to go there, tailgate, drink beer, eat food. There's going to be other podcasts there. I know the Burning River podcast is going to be there. There's a few other ones that are going to be there doing a show. Go help them out, please. $25. It's nothing major. You get some really good food, get to hang out with a whole bunch of Browns fans, and you get to help out City Dogs Cleveland. So please go. Help them out. And Bri, here is the trivia sounder. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Is brought to you by City Dogs Cleveland. Please go adopt a city dog. Now, Bri, I'll let you get out the trivia question first. I did get a photo. One of the guys from work is downtown in the standing room only out in right field drinking a Modelo right now watching the Guardians game. I am jealous.
That was one of the best things they did. Oh, yep. Yeah. Right, one of the best things they did was put that in right field. I was watching highlights from yesterday's game. The stadium or the stands are like half full, maybe less than half full, but that right field bar, that's always hopping.
It's a place to be, especially during pregame. They got $3 beers or something like that before the game starts or something.
Really? That's not a bad deal.
Yeah, once the game starts, then you're kind of screwed because you know how that price hike goes. But I'm telling you what.
Oh, sure. I mean,
you go out there and just enjoy the game. If you just want to stand out there for even James is the guy I'm talking about. James goes there for at least five innings, just gets the stadium ticket, has a couple beers, and then goes home just to be there for a game, just to enjoy the ballpark. So if you can't go out, it's a great time.
Genius, so, genius marketing by the Guardians.
I know, right?
What do most people do? I know whenever I go down for a Guardians game, you go to Panini's on West 9th or East 9th or some of the bars around the stadium, Thirsty Parrot, Clevelander. Is you go into the game now and you can't find a cheaper beer than that. So it gets people in early. I think usually most stadiums open up like 2 hours before game time. So why not go there as opposed to going to a bar?
Heck yeah. And especially all the redo, refurbished stuff they've done in there. It looks actually great. Right. They're still not finished, people. Still not finished. We got like another year and a half before they're finished with everything. But so far, it's like a totally different ballpark. I mean, they got rid of all the stuff up in the right field deck. The cargo crates are gone.
Yeah.
You got no more of those out there. And the great thing is Bri, when you build a good ballpark and you just got to update, that's best thing to do. And they're doing it right now with that standing porch on the right field. They got the home run deck there in left field with a whole bunch of stuff out there in left field by the bleachers. I mean, they're doing a lot of things. So I can't thank them enough for what they're doing there. And we'll get into more Guards baseball here in a second, but we're doing trivia. What am I doing, Bri?
Trivia. Yes, sir. You want me to go? You got pictures of little puppies, or
you want me to do the pictures now, or you want me to do pictures later?
Yeah, do the pictures. We usually do the pictures first.
All right. First off, take a look at all these beautiful puppies. Now, I don't have names, but all these puppies right here all need adopted. They definitely got an influx of puppies. Look at that beautiful puppy, Bri. And they're not all, the great thing is they're not all bullies. There's a husky in here. There's a shepherd in here coming up. But look at all these beautiful dogs that need adoption. They need love. Look at that beautiful boy right there, Bri. And then we got, like I said, I got a lot of pictures I'm clicking through. Here's my little ham hock right there. I like that one right there.
Yep.
And Beth told us, big and tall, fat and skinny, you got your pick of any kind of dog. Sure. There's a little shepherd mix right there.
Yep.
You know, I think there's a husky here coming up as soon as I find it. But, I mean, all these dogs, like, look at that. Who doesn't love a belly rub, Bri? Look at all these beautiful dogs. There's a collie mix right there.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, here's the husky. There's the husky right there. I mean, look, there's 21 dogs right here just available for adoption. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put that banner up right down at the bottom. See it scrolling right there at the bottom? That's how to get a hold of them. It's their website, their phone number. And then right there at that tinyurl.com, meet a city dog, is how you set up to meet one of these beautiful dogs. So please go check out City Dogs Cleveland for us, Bri. And that's the last puppy right there. That looks like an Oreo cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Normal. Now I want a double stuff, Bri.
Anywho.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
Bringing it back.
All right. So I got a trivia for you again. It is not football like you know I like to do. Well, kind of football, but not NFL. So it kind of goes back to the college basketball. And this year, Alabama made it to the Final Four, so they became the third school since the college football playoff inception. So the last 10 years, what, Ohio State won it 10 years ago, 2014. Was that the first one?
15.
Or 15. So since then, there have been three schools. Alabama became the third that have made a Final Four, mm-hmm. and also won a college football game, college football playoff game. So Alabama became the third. Give me the other two.
I mean, we can mark Ohio State off that list, right?
Made a Final Four, won a college football playoff game.
Oh, my God.
Since, of course we got... since 20, you said 15, maybe 14 or 15.
So, of course,
last 10 years, basically.
Of course, Michigan's in this.
If you want to burn one of your guesses on that, you know, Michigan's been a hot answer for trivia lately. Yeah, I can't avoid it. It just comes up on my phone.
I have a feeling it just, you know, you put down as soon as that maize in blue starts being said around you, it just like magically appears on your phone. You're just like, oh, look at that. There's a great trivia for Michigan stuff. I mean, I could throw one right back at you. You want to do a double trivia?
No, you could. Well, if you want to, you can save it for next week. I'm sure based on your tone, it's going to be an Ohio State trivia.
No, it's not going to be an Ohio State trivia.
What you got?
The Big Ten right now, the Big Ten has been 0-8 in the men's and 0-12 in the women, well, with combined men's and women's since 1990 in the National Championship of College Basketball. Who was the last Big Ten team to win the national championship?
That's wrong. Michigan State won it in 2000 or 2002, maybe 2000, I think.
I thought it was no. Yep, you're right. Okay,
Eugene Cleaves, Charlie you're Bell, right. Maybe.
So it's one and okay. Somebody said it on the radio today, Brian. I thought it was a gem. Obviously, I was wrong.
Nailed it. But I would do. I get bonus points for that.
Of course, you get bonus points. You get an extra slice of pizza, big fella.
That was back when I know Michigan and Michigan State are kind of bitter rivals now, but at the time I was, you know, maybe 15, 16 years old, so I didn't know any better. I kind of rooted for Michigan State. I was a big Mateen Cleaves fan, Morris Peterson. Yeah, I was happy when they won it.
Yeah, I was too.
Unfortunately, especially that Ishbia guy was on the team too, and he's kind of a D-bag. Well, yeah. He's a major D-bag.
Yeah.
There's no question that dude is.
There's no question about that.
He is scum.
All right, let's get into Cleveland headlines. Christ, Brian, we're already 20 minutes into this. It's going to be, I don't think we're talking Browns tonight, buddy. We're just going to talk everything else. First off, on your Cleveland headlines, we are going to talk a little baseball. We're talking guards right now. I don't even know what the score is. I don't care. Because the guards, after two stellar starts, Bri, stock couldn't be any higher. We got news last week. Shane Bieber is shutting it down for the rest of the season to get Tommy John surgery on his elbow, Bri. What a blow. Now, this is his final year, contract-wise, for Cleveland. All right. There's no team option, nothing like that. So this might be his final year here in Cleveland. We don't know for sure yet, Bri. But, man, after the first two starts that he had on the West Coast and then now having to shut it down and get Tommy John surgery, I mean, that's a blow. That is a blow to your Cleveland Guardians, especially the way he started out pitching so far. I mean, how do you feel about the news that just happened with Shane Bieber?
It was shocking. It was it kind of came out of left field. And it was very similar to the Deshaun Watson news, I thought, because – here's Shane Bieber, the height of his powers again. He's back. Deshaun Watson coming back from beating the Ravens. He's back. He's looking great finally. And then out of nowhere, boom, shoulder injury, done for the year. And it was just, I mean, like we all felt back in October, it just takes your breath away and really leaves a sour taste in your mouth. And initial reaction is just like, all right, season's over. You know, our best player went down. I'm not going to have him. This is a little different maybe because a lot of us kind of were preparing that we wouldn't have him if we made it to the playoffs anyways. And so, but also just the human aspect of it. You know, this being his last year, finally getting a chance to make huge, huge multi-million dollars, and he still will. So, oh, yeah. I mean, you don't feel terrible for him because he's still going to make, you know, more money than any of us have ever seen in our lives and by a significant margin. But just he's worked his whole career up to this and finally get a chance to go wherever he wants. And also just the fact that he looked so good in his first two outings. So I think in a funny way, this maybe almost kind of at least for the long term, might benefit the Guardians because, you know, maybe there's not people willing to throw $40, $50 million at him this offseason had he continued on the trajectory that he was for this year. So maybe he does look to stay at a place that he knows, at least for, you know, hopefully, my opinion, I hope, you know, if the Guardians do re-sign him, I hope he resigns at least for 3 years. That way you can at least plan to have him around. Because I don't want this one-year deal, even a two-year deal. We're going through the exact same thing next this offseason, going into next year, throughout next year. Like, when do we trade Bieber? He's not going to be here long-term. We got to make a plan to get rid of. So I'm hoping if they do – and this Tommy John surgery is no joke. It's a serious thing, so – kind of the same conversations we're having with Watson, we might have with Bieber, that like, well, will he ever be back to prime Bieber? And only time will tell there. So, yeah, I think teams are going to be reluctant to give him a ton of cash, and maybe the Guardians might say, hey, you're still a solid offer. You come back, you kind of get your feet under you. I think he's still relatively young. What, he's not 30 yet, is he?
28, man.
28. Okay, so – signs a three-year deal, you know, goes into early 30s, he'd be a free agent again, and then if he really wants to go get that giant payday, he could do it at that time. So, but as far as this season goes, it's just a major bummer. You know, let's not forget where we thought the Guardians were a week and a half ago and where they are now. Like, if you think, if you completely change your mindset and you think they're a World Series contender, I think that's awesome, but to me, I need to see a little bit more. So it's not like we're that's where it differs maybe a little bit from the Browns to the Guardians is, you know, the Browns have very high expectations for the year, and the Guardians kind of have. And also quarterbacks mean a lot more than, you know, one starting pitcher. So, but yeah, just to stick with the Guardians, it's a bummer. It's going to be a gut wrencher for the clubhouse and for the whole city of Cleveland for a little bit of time, but I think maybe it softens the blow a little bit just because a lot of us figured he wouldn't be around for the whole season anyway. So it's kind of like you have many, many mixed emotions when it comes to this news.
Yeah. And Bri, I agree with you about the mixed emotions. I agree with everything because, you know, like you said, we weren't expecting him to be here long-term. Like, you're paying him, I think it's $16 million this year. Right now, last year was $13 million. Year before that, it was six. And then he had his years where he was making like $600,000. So he's made enough money in his career that he's good. I'm not saying he's not like $100 million good, but he's set. Like, there's nothing else he could do. Like, if you can't live off of $16 million the rest of your life, something's wrong. I mean, I can live off probably... I get a chance, $160,000, I could live off of that for a while, Bri. Not gonna lie. So, but the silver lining in all this, Bri, is like you said, he's hurt. People might not take a gamble on that. We might get him back. And what I'm thinking, Bri, is a two-year contract. Let's just say two-year contract with either a club or player option for the third year, and $20 million, $21 million. And at that point in time, it's only $10 million for a starting pitcher that you're already going to be paying $60 million now. I mean, it all depends on what happens with free agency, Bri. And that's where we're kind of at right now with it. If he goes to free agency, which I hope he doesn't, I hope they're still in contract talks with him and they can sign him for a decent amount to bring him back, because the way he started out this year was on fire. He was back to old Shane Bieber. So I don't know what happened that he just kind of shut it down. I don't know. There was a tweak one of the games, or if it just started inflamed on him later on. It seems weird as shit, Bri, because like he was lights out Shane Bieber those first two games. He only threw 83 pitches both games. He had 20 some odd strikeouts. Like, right. he was unreal. And then now this happens. It's like, man, it's just a, Bri, let's be honest, it's a kick in the dick for Guardians fans, because you're at least hoping to see him for half of the year before the trade deadline. And that half of the year could have got you 10 wins, 15 wins before the trade deadline, which this team needs. Now, on the backside of this, Brian, what really sucks though, is we keep saying, hey, we just groom pitchers like crazy, just pluck them right off the tree and they just pitch like crazy. Right now, those pitchers are still a little dinged up. We still got Gavin Williams out, not pitching. Tristan McKenzie is now just back, trying to get back to form because he was out all of last year. You got Cookie Carrasco, who is I still love as a veteran presence in that room. I love Cookie Carrasco here. I don't care if he pitches, what he looks like, just having that veteran leadership in that locker room for the Guardians, I think is going to be huge. But I even put up the poll like this. This Shane Bieber getting hurt, I asked how big of a blow it would be for the Guardians season this year. Brian, I think this is going to be a huge loss for the Guardians this year. And I really do because of the, one, veteran presence, but two, he was starting to come back to form, Brian. And if you get Shane Bieber like that, Brian, that's like vintage Klubot. That's like, you know, the old days of like the starting pitchers that we've had before, like, you know, Klubot, Justin Masterson, when he was on his prime for a while, nobody could touch him. Like Shane Bieber was getting back to that, and he's only 28, Bri. It's not like he's 36. It's not like he's still right in his prime window between 28 and 35 as a starting pitcher. I mean, Christ, look at Justin Verlander. I think he's 56 years old right now, right? Like, you know what close. I'm saying, though? But, I mean, this is where we're at right now. But if you can get a good deal and extend him while he's recovering and everything else, Bri, I would take a two-year, $20 million deal with him if he would take it.
I don't, I'd be shocked if, I mean, maybe 20 mil a year, but I would probably, I mean, me, I don't know much about baseball. I'll be the first one to tell you, but I would think 25, maybe 30 million. I know he's coming off a major surgery, but he's been an ace in the past. And the way Boston and Chicago and LA, New York throw around money, I would imagine one of them will take a chance on him for 20, 25 mil a year.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think it'll be a small contract and for his next contract and to see if he is back to form. Like you said, about 31, maybe get another contract. I think that's kind of where they're at with it. I mean, I hope the Guardians can sign him. I'd love to have him back, Bri. I would absolutely love to have Shane Bieber back here. But like you said, it's all about the money and who we can match. I mean, right, even if he's still in, well, no, 60-day. I don't know if they could trade him on the injured list, though, Bri. I mean, can they? Do you know?
I would guess. I don't think you can in the NFL. So I would think you probably cannot, especially because, you know, he's out for the year and he's only signed through this year. So I don't know why anybody would trade for him.
Yeah, okay. No, I get that. I get that. I'm just curious. Maybe because sign like the only thing I was thinking is like how the NBA does like the re-sign and trade. You know what I'm talking about? And that's what I was kind of thinking about that. But, you know, also we have the Dolans. Come on, let's be honest, bro. We have the Dolans. Ain't no money coming in now.
And he's a California kid, so we've heard all along that, you know, he might go back there. And, yeah. The Dodgers, money is not a real object to them, so it's all monopoly money. They could sign Shane Bieber to $1 billion a year, I'm sure, if they wanted, and baseball's not going to do anything about it.
All right, next thing up on the docket, Bri, your Cleveland Cavs, Brian. I'm taking my glasses off for this one, Bri, because I don't know what's going on with this fucking team. Not having Donovan Mitchell has been an eyesore and an eye-opener for this Cavs team. And I didn't want to think it was going to be this bad, Bri, without him being in the lineup and how they look. But, Bri, it has been god-freaking-awful. You blew a 26-point lead the other night to the Clippers. 26-point lead. Clippers come back and win. You had the Lakers. Like, it's just like you're watching this team, and they are just self-imploding right now. And it looks like they are not playing with any heart. It looks like they don't even care about the regular season, which most NBA teams don't. I get that. But I'm telling you what, Brian, if the playoffs come around and they go to roll this ball out on Brian, we've went from second place in the East. I think we're sitting sixth right now.
Is that right? Ugh.
And we would have to play the Magic at the Magic. There might be a chance we have to play the Knicks. And the Sixers got Embiid back, and they're looking like a juggernaut again. You were right about that. Hey, Bri, high five on that one, Bri. You knew it. 76ers getting Embiid back. But I'm telling you MVP. What, if Donovan Mitchell is not right going into this playoff series, Bri, it's going to be one and done. It's going to be one and done, and then that's it. It might not even be one and done. It just might be done in the first round. Like, you might get, dare I say, you might get swept in the first round. And at that point in time, Bri, everybody's head's on the chopping block at that time. I would have to say so. I mean, Kobe Altman, you know, you've been talking about it now for now. JB Bickerstaff, Darius Garland, Jared Allen. Like, we're at a crossroads right now where this team is, and they supposedly have the core four that they wanted. But you think Donovan Mitchell is wanting to sign back up for this? If he can't go out there and have Robin to his Batman, somebody to help him at all? Now, granted, Mobley is playing aggressive the past few games and actually scoring, but where was this at throughout the rest of the year? He was hurt. He was dinged up. But right now, we don't even have 100% Donovan Mitchell, and we're not going to have 100% Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs. We're going to have about a 70% Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs. And you know what that means? It means Darius Garland. It means Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, Max Strus, Niang, Merrill. Somebody has got to come out and start scoring the ball and being aggressive. I don't care who it is. But they got three games right now left in the regular season, Bri. And I said this on Twitter, and I had a couple people laughing at me. Bri, it's gut check time to see if you actually want to try to advance this team and see where they're at mentally, for one, physically, for the next, and see if they're going to be soft going into the playoffs again. And we hate saying the word soft. Let me do the soft going into the playoffs again, because that's what they're looking like right now. They are soft.
Yeah, I mean, it's where they are as a franchise, as a team right now. We're all worried that if they get into playoffs, that there's a real chance they get swept and they get embarrassed. And I guess the frustrating part for me is that's how I feel last season ended. You basically got swept. You definitely got embarrassed, and you didn't do anything about it in the offseason other than swap this shooter for that shooter. And, you know, a lot of this that I'm going to say, people have heard before. I'm going to sound like a broken record week in and week out. And it's just, it's because it's the only thing I can do. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like this could work if we make this minor change. And I told you last week, definitely JB Bickerstaff is going to be the scapegoat for it.
Oh yeah.
My biggest fear is that the fans, and I think the fans are starting to wise up to it, but the front office and the owner are going to think, okay, let's make this change. He was the problem. See what a new guy can do, and we're good. And I don't think you might not even get that opportunity to do that, because from what it sounds like, even though we heard reports last week, 2 weeks ago about Donovan Mitchell, yep, probably going to stay. Looks like more promising that he's going to stay.
I mean,
now it's looking the opposite way.
Yeah, we heard it from Niang, and then there was a press conference with Dan Gilbert that he said something about it. And it's like, okay, so, but why would he? Why would he want to stay with this right now? Like, you don't have anybody picking up the slack for him. Like, when he is on the court, we were the second best in the East when he was on the court. One of the, let's just say, top four in the East. When he is off the court and has been injured, Bri, this has been a totally different team. Like, it has been horrible.
Yeah, and it's like I was thinking months ago that this is more of a LeBron James Cleveland Cavaliers situation than anybody wants to admit and give credit to. It's, you have one superstar and you have a bunch of nice role players around him.
But the thing is, he's not LeBron James, though. He's not.
Oh, I know. And that's why you're not going anywhere in the playoffs. If he was LeBron James, he'd take you to the finals. He'd throw the team on his back. But I'm just talking about the people around him are more similar to the difference is the teams with LeBron had a ton of experience around him. Even though, you know, you had J.R. Smith who'd make boneheaded play once in a while, you had veterans around him. Whereas here, we have a bunch of young guys with a ton of potential. And but when they get pushed around, when push comes to shove, nobody's stepping up. Nobody's, Darius Garland has gone into the tank. And like I said lastly, I don't know what you can get for him in a trade at this point. Yeah. But we're going to have tons of time to talk about the offseason and everything like that. I just think, to me, if I'm Dan Gilbert and it goes the way it looks like it's going to go, you almost have to have a conversation with Donovan Mitchell and almost treat him like he is your franchise. He's the most important person in your franchise. That's how basketball works. For the people that don't like it, that's how basketball is. Giannis is the most important person in Milwaukee. LeBron's the most important person in LA. Jason Tatum in Boston. Embiid, Jokic for sure. What the Cavs did is they traded for Donovan Mitchell and they placed Donovan Mitchell in this situation that we had been building. Mm-hmm. Now, what we need to do this offseason, in my opinion, is you go to Donovan Mitchell and you say, we want to build a team around you. If you don't play well, you don't think Jared Allen's skills, mesh with your game, he's gone. Evan Mobley. You don't like Evan Mobley? We'll find somebody else to take him. We're going to get guys to build around you. We're going to get you a coach to coach you right, a coach that you like. You know, clearly Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell don't work together. I think it's beyond a shadow of a doubt at this point. I think everyone's kind of coming around to that fact. And that's your only play. In my mind, that's your only play is to go to Donovan Mitchell, say, we're all ears, let's sign you up, and let's start building around you. Because if he leaves, you're left with Garland, you're left with Mobley, you're left with Jared Allen, all nice players. You're not going anywhere with those guys. You can't make and I know they're all very young still, and people might hate on me for passing judgment already on them. But I've seen it, maybe in 4 years when they're 26, 27 years old, we can be like the Toronto Raptors were of the LeBron era, where, we might look good in the regular season, but we're not winning anything in the playoffs. It's a gigantic offseason for them. It's scary to think where this team might be if Donovan Mitchell leaves.
It will be, if that's the case, Bri, it will be a different scenario, I think. Now, you said like Mobley maybe be on the chopping block. I don't know if they would give up on Mobley that quick, Bri.
I don't think they want to, but I think if that's what you have to do.
I think they would look at Donovan and be like, okay, Mobley is here. Pick anybody else. Like, I think they've put enough time and investment in Mobley that they don't want to move on from Mobley. I think that was their one key pick that when they drafted, they thought Mobley was going to be that unicorn and be that guy to be the, not the center, not the power forward, not the small forward, but that swing player there down the bigs that could kind of move around and have an outside shot. And you pair him up with Donovan Mitchell. I think that's what they were kind of looking at when they brought Donovan in, is you're going to have Donovan Mitchell plus Mobley. And then that might be a different kind of dynamic for Mobley to get him to a next level. And right now he's been hurt this year. I'm not saying that, I'm not making excuses for him, but I really don't think the Cavs are going to give up on Mobley right now. Even if they went to Donovan and said, Donovan, you can get rid of anybody and everybody you want, I still think they'd be like, all right, we're pumping the brakes on Mobley. Everybody else, fair game. Mobley, not.
Yeah, I don't think they want to give up on Mobley, and I don't think they would. I'm just saying, if this offseason, hypothetically, you talk to Donovan Mitchell and he says, it's either me or Evan Mobley, I think as a Cavs fan, I'm siding with the guy who I have seen played an all-star level rather than the guy who I think I hope can be. And I'm not saying that you have to. And most likely he's fine with Evan Mobley. Evan Mobley isn't a big personality. You know, I can't imagine that he rubs Donovan Mitchell the wrong way. So most likely you're fine. You can move forward with those two guys and maybe Jared Allen too. I don't know. But yeah, it's just, it's crazy. We have these discussions. Does this team work? Do these two guards work together? Do these two big men work together? Is this team soft? We have these discussions, but deep down, we all know the answers to it. You know, we're just wasting our breath talking about all these other things. We know what the issues are. The Cavs just refuse to make these changes, and call it being stubborn, call it not having many other options. I don't know what it is. I mean, we're seeing big men in the NBA. If you can't play outside of 15 feet, you're almost useless. I mean, Zach Edey, we just saw Zach Edey dominate college game. And he probably won't even get drafted. Or he might be a second-round pick or something like that. We see these college centers year in and year out always go much later than they should go in the NBA draft because nobody wants a – what's that?
You don't think him, of all people, would go in the second round, right?
Edey?
Yeah.
It's a different game. Nobody has a big man. The reason Wembanyama went so high, he's 7'5". He's the same height as Zach Edey, or Edey's 7'4", or something, because Wemby can play the outside. You know, he's mobile.
He's like 210 pounds at 7'5".
Right. Too. Edey's Arvydas Sabonis. Not even Arvydas Sabonis. He doesn't have an outside shot at all. So
like a Yao Ming.
The Cavs trying to make it work with – you know, I'm with you. I still have hope for Evan Mobley, but Jared Allen's the guy that, you know, you have to evolve your game because right now in the NBA, if you can't play outside of 15 feet, I don't care how good you are defensively. It's just, you're a role player at best.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, you did a great transition over into the college basketball, Brian, because
there you go.
Now we're done with the Cavs. Now, Bri, I am going to try. I've reached out to a couple people for next week. Next week we will be live, correct?
Yes. Yep.
I am trying to get Sam Amico on our show next week.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he's good.
So I'm going to try to get him on. If I cannot get him on, I will reach out to our boy Kevin Arnold or Zach Weiss to see the get a little matchup for the Cavs for a little 10-minute quickie interview for our Cavs postseason and see what they can do. But college basketball has been the mecca right now. March Madness is over. UConn beat Purdue in the men's side. South Carolina beat Iowa on the women's side. Bri, Cleveland showed up and showed out for the women's Final Four in the championship. What a beautiful display that Cleveland put on for everybody. Downtown was a buzz. 18 million people tuned in for the women's championship. Which is one of the top rated, I think 15 million tuned in for the men's championship. But that's kind of biased because they started at 9:20. Who the hell starts a men's basketball championship at 9:20 at night, Bri?
They've been doing it for years. They do it in the NBA finals. Remember when the Cavs and the Warriors were playing together? That's when their games would start.
Yeah, but why would you? Well, they had, because it was on the West Coast, though.
No. I mean, even games in Cleveland, probably the earliest they would start would be 8:30. But most of them start like I can't stand it. Why not? I think it should all be 8:30.
The women's
5:30 on the West Coast.
The women's championship did it right. 3:30 on a Sunday. 3:30 on a Sunday. They did it right. 4 o'clock on a Sunday. You know, that means you're either A, out of church on the West Coast watching at 1 p.m. or you're at 4 p.m. here right before dinner. Watch it, and you can actually sit down with your family and watch a game instead of 9:20 at night going like this with toothpicks in your eyes going, I can stay awake and watch the rest of this shit. You can't. We both wake up early in the morning, Bri. Did you even stay up for that championship game?
I did. As stupid as it was, I did. I know, and I got probably less than 3 hours of sleep. So,
you silly bastard.
It was a terrible decision on my part. for whatever reason, I did it. But, kudos to the women and their marketing team it's not that difficult, really, if you think about it. If it's good enough for the NFL, they play their championship games at that same time. So their biggest games of their year, they'll play at 3 o'clock on a Sunday. So if it's good enough for the NFL, why wouldn't it be good enough for every other sport?
Hey, Super Bowl Sunday, 6 p.m.
6 p.m. Sure. Perfect. 6 p.m. on a Sunday. Perfect. Why don't we have the national championship game right then? You know, it's good enough for the Super Bowl. It's not good enough for men's college basketball. It's not good enough for the NBA finals or the World Series or something. It's just, it's stupid. I mean, you know, we're probably biased because we live on the East Coast and it's just a giant pain in the butt. But at 8:30, 8:20, you know, Monday Night Football, something like that, that should be the latest any game should start.
Well, I love the text I just got from one of our teammates at Network 216. Said the Cavs have completely quit on JB. Fire this dude now. Just pull the trigger. Right now at halftime, they are down 51-46. To Memphis, and now they were
18-point favorites.
And right now, the White Sox and Tribe are tied in the sixth inning, 5-5.
Oh, nice!
Here we go. So we got some good news. Did you enjoy any game? Did you watch the women's game, Brian?
I did. Like I said earlier, I was on a bar crawl. So what do bars have? They have sports on TV. Right. So, yep, I watched it, and you know. Iowa got off to that hot start, 11-0. Mm-hmm. But in basketball, that's nothing. The teams go on runs all the time. So you kind of figured, and in this case, it mirrored the women's side, mirrored the men's side. You had the best team all year playing the best player all year, and the best team ended up triumph over the best player, and it turns out it wasn't that close. I can't remember, did South Carolina win by 10 or 12 or something? UConn
yeah,
won by like
15. I know Caitlin Clark came out and was hot. She had like 18 points in the first quarter and then only had like 12 the rest of the game. Like she came out hot and then just kind of like, but I mean, that could have been South Carolina's defense. Now, Bri, I did not watch the game. I was doing family things. Did not watch women's basketball. I did watch the Final Four game with LSU, though. I'll admit that. I watched that game because I wanted to see the Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. But I'm telling you what, this all started, the women's basketball, and if everybody can bash me on this, and I'm fine with it. This all started with UConn. When UConn started making their runs of national championships and the 36-0s and the 48-0s and running through the tournament, and it all kind of started then. But now there's been like a transition where, and I think it might be because the women players stay a little bit longer than the men do. So you get a little bit more time with the women than what you would with the men doing the one and done and then going into the draft. With the women, you get at least 3 years with the women, 2 years with the women if you're really good before they go to the NBA draft or the WNBA draft. So it's kind of like, I think that's why the women's game is kind of pivoting to be more entertaining than the men's game because you have people to root for, Bri. I mean, Caitlin Clark was at Iowa for 4 years, one of the best basketball players the past 2 years. And just you got to see that. You got to grasp towards that. For on the men's side, we knew about Zach Edey being 7'4", and just because he is a mammoth figure. But, Bri, honestly, I couldn't tell you half the other people that are in the college basketball men's side because I don't know anymore. It's not like it was when we were growing up where you would have, you know, like a Christian Laettner staying around until his junior year or, you know, it's one and dones and they're just come in, do that. All right, I'm going to the NBA. And it's like, okay, you have one good year. Like I even had it with Odin and Conley with Ohio State. Like I had for 1 year, that was it. And then they were gone. So it's just, I think that's the transition that they're having is because you can actually get behind a person and a team and root for that team throughout the time that you can't do anymore, especially on the men's side, because like Bri, honestly, I cannot tell you one UConn player, not one. I don't know who plays on UConn. I really don't. Now I know Hurley coaches UConn. I cannot tell you one player.
Yeah. You're probably not the only one.
And I just spouted off, you know, you had Angel Reese, you had Van Lith, you had Caitlin Clark. I can name off all these on the women's side, but I can't do it on the men's side because it's just they're there longer. They're honing their craft, building up their game. And then the men's side is just like one and done. All right, well, I played at Kentucky, played at Blue Blood, averaged 12 points. I'm going to go to the draft. Like Bronny James right now. Bronny James going to the NBA draft. Bry, he played on USC and averaged what? 4 points a game? Something of that nature. Like he barely played, but he's going to enter the draft. Okay. All right. I'm glad you're entering the draft. Like you didn't even play on a shitty West Coast team. Like what? What?
It'll be fascinating to see where he gets drafted because some teams might think like I do, like by drafting Bronny, you're drafting a 40-year-old goat.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And yeah. So, like, if that's the case, you know, maybe he'll go number one, you know. Of course, the teams are picking at the top of the draft. They're not going to want a guy who's only going to play 1 or 2 years. But, you know, a title contender picking at 15 or 18 can add LeBron just by drafting his son. And I don't know all the semantics of it. You might have to trade for him or whatnot. But
I think this is his last year in the Lakers, isn't it?
I don't know. It's fascinating to think of that. But going back to college basketball, it's I don't know why the men wouldn't go the way of football, wouldn't go the way of the women's game, and you know, make the kids stay 2, maybe even 3 years. And that would bring more excitement, more entertainment to the college basketball game. Because like you said, we just had one of the greatest college basketball runs this year with UConn and blowing everybody out, covering every single game in the tournament. And most people can't even name one of their players. Yeah. So that's a marketing issue, but that's also – you know, these guys just don't stick around for very long. I mean, I picked Kentucky going to the Final Four because I was watching some Sports Center show or Marty Smith was talking about Kentucky has – they're a great team and they have 2 lottery picks that come off the bench. And so I'm like, these guys must be unbelievable. They're great, 2 lottery right? picks. Can't even make the starting lineup. And they go out and lose the first game. And it's like, you know, they're drafting these guys based on potential, based on, you know, we think in 2 years, this guy's super athletic and he can shoot a little bit. So we think he's going to be good. And it's just, you know, and for all the people that say you can't infringe on their rights to go make a paycheck, well, football does it. And I think, again, you know, if these other leagues would just put their ego aside and just copy what football does. Major League Baseball, football has a salary cap. Copy what they do. Basketball, start times. Copy what football does. You know, make these guys stick in college for 3 years. But nobody wants to because they've always done it this way and they're not going to change it now. It's just, I don't know. It seems pretty simple to me. But for whatever reason, they just don't want to do it.
I feel like we're a bunch of old men. And I feel like we're the 2 Muppets.
I'm telling you, how could that not help? That would help the NBA because you would get guys who would be more developed and you wouldn't just be guessing on these guys.
Well, you wouldn't have an 18 and 19-year-old getting into the league. You would have a 20-year-old, maybe 21-year-old coming into the league. And like –
would Isaac Okoro ever been drafted in the lottery if he played 3 years? No, he was drafted on potential based on his athleticism.
And he would have more game tape. They would have more game tape.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I get you, Bri. Man, it's just – I just want something different for the men's. And, you know, something – we love the brackets anyways, Bri. You and I are both little degenerates. And, you know, $10 here, $10 there on a bracket. We just have fun with friends and – talk crap. Like, you know, my bracket got busted the first night, but guess what, Bri? I picked Purdue to win, and I was the only one in the country bracket that picked Purdue to win, and I was rooting like crazy because if they won, I would have won it all. But man, UConn just came out and just they did what they did. They pretty much they said, okay, Edie, score all you want to, we're shutting down everybody else. And they did, sure did. And that's what they did. And it was crazy. Brian, you got any more on the NCAA before we switch over to the Masters?
That's it.
All right. So it is Masters week, Brian. One of our exciting weeks. We love Masters week. Today was a par three. Love the kids, caddying, everybody, all the families out there. Love the par three contest. One of the great things they do there. But right now, Bri, Scottie Scheffler is the betting favorite to win this year's Masters. He is on a tear right now. And by tear, they're talking about him playing like Tiger Woods. Now, Tiger Woods is going for his 24th consecutive cut at the Masters, Bri.
Wow.
Unreal about that. But right now, the top ones here on the DraftKings sporting book, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, Xander Schauffele, Brooks Koepka, Matsuyama, Jordan Spieth. I've never even heard of Ludwig Åberg.
Yeah, I just heard of him today.
Joaquin Niemann.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard Niemann. Of him. Yeah. DeChambeau, Victor Hovland, Dustin Johnson, Tony Finau, Wyndham Clark, Matt Fitzpatrick, Cameron Smith, Tommy Fleetwood, and blah, 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 blah. I don't even know where Tiger Woods is at on this list.
Oh, way down there.
All right. Jason Day is plus 6,000 to win. Okay.
Let's put a dollar on that, right?
Tiger Woods.
$600.
Tiger Woods is plus 14,000 to win the Masters, Bri.
Yeah. He's much more likely to withdraw than he is to finish top 10.
Well, he's trying to make the cut. I mean,
events I can remember him playing in recently, he doesn't even finish. He can't even play four rounds. So,
man,
I don't know where his health is.
All right, Bryce. So, who is your favorite this week for the Masters?
Well, it's hard to not think Scheffler. Just the tear that he's on. Now, I will say, he's the favorite, so I'm not going out on a limb at all, and right. I'm not trying
top to. Top 10, he's minus 200 to be in the top 10.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so right. that would be a pretty good bet unless, like, all hell broke loose. But the thing nowadays is just the unknown, because we usually we know how guys are playing going into this, and unless you're an avid golf fan, you have two leagues. Most of us pay attention to, at least anybody who's watching the Masters pays attention to the PGA. But these live guys, and we know all the names, but these live guys, I don't know how John Rahm is playing. I don't know how Brooks Koepka is playing. I know he plays Augusta pretty well, but it's almost like, to me, I liken it to the NBA draft when they're drafting these foreign guys, and you're like, I've never heard of this guy. And then 3 years, 4 years later, he turns into Nikola Jokic and Giannis Antetokounmpo. And it's like, oh, I didn't know that guy was that good. So there's that unknown factor of it to where that usually makes it an exciting time. And yeah, I don't, that's what makes it so fun. I don't know what's going to happen. It seems like typically the guys that have the experience on this course and the guys that kind of play this course a lot, they seem to do better than the guys. Like, I think Wyndham Clark, I heard this is his first time playing Augusta. So I wouldn't be betting on that guy, even though he's been playing really well.
There's so many nooks and crannies and the greens that drift. Like, you get a guy that's played on, like, let's just say Tiger. Past years, Freddie Couples, Tom Watson, Jack Nicklaus, like all these guys are like older guys that have played this, have taken a charge the first couple rounds and been there at the end of the, like, I mean, remember the year that Tom Watson came screaming up? Like,
you know, even guys like guys you've heard of, and then there's fringe guys like, I think Justin Spieth, Koepka, Justin Spieth always seem to play Augusta really well. But then you also have these fringe guys who you don't really think. I remember it was 2 or 3 years in a row, you wouldn't hear anything all year long about Charlie Hoffman
Oh yeah.
And then come Masters weekend, he'd have the lead on the first day, and he'd be like top five on the second day, and you're like, where's this guy come from? Does he just never play any other events? No, he just plays Augusta really well. Paul Casey kind of does that too. I know these guys from making DraftKings lineups, and not DraftKings, but FanDuel. And just knowing like the guys that are consistent at Augusta. Phil Mickelson last year played really well. I think to me, there's going to be some popular names. There's going to be a lot of guys that we know at the top of the leaderboard. And I just hope it comes down to the last few holes on Sunday. I think that's all we can ask for.
Exactly. And
I really don't have much of a rooting interest outside of, I'll probably make another FanDuel lineup as well, just to give me something to root for. But typically root for Americans, and typically nowadays root for PGA Tour guys.
The one I like to root for is, like you said, like you got your Americans, but you got that one older guy, that one savvy vet that, you know, nobody thinks is going to do anything. And then next thing you know, he's top 10 in the leaderboard. And they're like, and here, Freddie Couples has done it. I remember the year that
Stuart Swink, out of nowhere,
Mark O'Mara, like the year that he did, like just, there's always that one guy, that one older guy that just plays the course perfect and has his fun. But I love it. You know, I want to see Roy win it, get back in the top four. Oh, the majors, there we go. I was losing the majors in my head. Get another major underneath his belt.
He's never won at Augusta, so nope. That's the one place that has his number, so it'd be fun. Being a PGA Tour guy, it's almost like you kind of root for him. Him and Scheffler that faced the PGA Tour, so yeah. You kind of root for them a little bit, even though he's not American.
It's crazy, Brian. Well, guess what? We did a whole show. We didn't talk Browns.
Cool. Yeah, there's a lot going on in sports, and we still got a couple weeks until the draft. So I got guys that I'm honing in on that I'm keeping my fingers crossed, and I'm sure the Browns won't draft them. But they're all Michigan guys, so you can imagine.
Oh yeah,
JJ McCarthy, trade up for him. Put him at halfback if we have to.
Yep. All right, you ready to get into Fat Boy Thursday, buddy?
Sure.
All right, quickly we will do Fat Boy Thursday. It is time for Fat Boy Thursday. Now, Brian, I came up with some weird desserts because we were talking about is ketchup a jam or a jelly last week, because my son is a fat genius and I love him. God, I love that kid. But like right now, the reason why I brought it up, because I wanted to think of some other out of the box things. So I went some weird ingredients for desserts. So Brian, first up on the sheet right now is summer squash pound cake. Yellow squash is the weird ingredient in it. It actually looks delicious. I'm not going to lie. It almost looks like banana bread with some frosting on the top of it. Would you be interested in maybe a yellow squash cake?
Typically I would say no, but I don't want to spoil something else you might bring up, but like zucchini bread or chocolate zucchini bread.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound good at all, but so moist and so good. So that kind of changed my thinking for stuff like that. So I'd try it.
All right, here we go. Here's another one. Now this is right up Justin's alley. It is a vegan chocolate mousse. Now, Brian, the special ingredient, avocados.
Sure. I mean, I'm guessing it tastes like chocolate and not avocados. If it tastes like avocados, I'm probably out. But avocados don't really taste like a whole lot anyways. But try it.
All right, here we go. Here's another one. Black bean brownies.
Oh, you might have lost me there.
Okay, now here's one that sounds good. Pineapple carrot cake.
Oh, sure.
Which sounds good.
Hold on. Sounds really good.
Special ingredient, baby food.
Sure. Baby food's not the worst thing ever. It doesn't look great, but probably not bad.
Here's another one. Potato chip clusters. So it's almost like your haystacks, but they use potato chips instead.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
Tropical compote dessert, special ingredient, jalapeno.
Okay. All right. Usually I like sweet and spicy stuff. I don't know if I ever had like spicy chocolate or anything, but.
Now here's one that threw me for a loop. Okay. Because I love sherbet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And especially a citrus sherbet. You get like lemon or orange sherbet, or you know what I'm talking about? You get like the good sherbet. But this is a rosemary citrus sherbet. And if you've ever had rosemary, Bri, it is a got a different, unique taste to it. Would you try rosemary citrus sherbet?
Yeah. I couldn't tell you for sure that I know what rosemary for sure tastes like. But sherbet, I'll give it a try.
All right, here's the next one. Chocolate mayonnaise cake.
Yeah, I can't imagine that's good.
I think what it is they use the mayonnaise for the topping, the icing.
Oh, that sounds even worse.
So let's see.
Maybe they whip the chocolate mousse and like mayonnaise together, and
that's what I'm guessing.
But no, it's mayonnaise frosting.
Here's another one. It's a cheesecake, Bri. We all love cheesecake. What about a lavender honey cheesecake?
I've heard of that before. I'll give it a try. Absolutely.
Okay. Let's see here. We got a beer cake. We're definitely eating that. It's called a chocolate Guinness cake. Special ingredient is Guinness. Of course, we're eating that thing. What about, here we go, fresh quinoa, fresh fig, and honey balsamic parfait. Special ingredient is balsamic vinegar.
Doesn't sound like the worst thing ever, but doesn't sound like a dessert to me.
This one, I don't even know why this is on the list right here, but bacon chocolate chip cheesecake blondies. And they're saying bacon is a weird ingredient. Bacon goes with everything.
Sure does nowadays.
Jesus. All right. Well, here we go. Sauerkraut chocolate cake.
No. Probably out on that one. Sauerkraut and chocolate. Cabbage and chocolate. No.
I know. There's one more. Oh, here we go. Green tomato pie.
Nope. Not a huge tomato fan. So tomatoes and pie, they don't mix in my book.
No. You brought up zucchini. Here we go. Blueberry zucchini squares.
Sure. I'm down.
Sour cream sugar cookie cake.
Yeah. I've had some desserts with sour cream in it. It's not bad.
Now, here's one that threw me for a loop. Okay. Now, it's called watermelon cupcakes. But the special ingredient is lemon lime soda.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Definitely heard of that before. That sounds good. I would be all over that.
And here comes your haystacks. Special ingredient, haystack cookies with peanut butter. Special ingredient is chow mein noodles.
Absolutely. One of my favorites.
And then to finish off the list, Bri, we have two to finish off the list. Okay. Number one is popcorn cookies. Special ingredient is popcorn.
Yeah, I just had this weekend popcorn with chocolate on it. So that's good stuff.
Okay. And then the last one is cola cake with strawberries and cream. Special ingredient is cola soda.
Yep. I'm in.
All right. All of them sound delicious. There was another one in there with tofu, and I was like, I'm not even going to bring that one up.
That's a hard no.
But there's some in there, like they all, Bri, I'm telling you, they all look delicious, like look wise. Like if you put them in front of me, I'm going to try them because they look great. Just don't tell me the special ingredient first.
Well, even like straw, I'm surprised you didn't bring up, of course, it's probably pretty common now, strawberry rhubarb pie.
That's common now.
Rhubarb is not very good. If you ever had rhubarb by itself, but if you make, not very good.
But if you make strawberry rhubarb pie, it is freaking delicious.
Right.
Yep. Well, that's like the mincemeat pie. You know, people eat mincemeat pie.
I don't even know if I know what mincemeat is. It doesn't sound very appetizing, though. Mm-mm.
That's why I'm not like my dad loves pecan pie. I can't get into it. Like, I just, of all the pies in the world. I love pie, Bri. I cannot do pecan pie.
I'm with you. My wife makes a mean one, I'm told. But yeah, I'll eat it. But I'm typically probably not going for that over an apple pie or pumpkin pie even or something like that. Is mincemeat pie anything like a potted meat?
You know something, Bri? I'll look it up and we'll talk about it next week.
Shout out to Jose, his potted meat.
By the way, he's still eating that potted meat.
Oh my goodness.
Well, also, rest in peace, Blaha, with his canned oysters and everything else that he ate. You remember those?
Gross. Yep.
Yep. All right. Well, Bri, it is time for our top three, and then we'll close out the show with our trivia answer. You ready?
Yep.
My bad. Our top three tonight, we are doing hot dog toppings, Brian. The reason why I brought it up is somebody put it out on Twitter. It is one thing that goes on hot dogs. And I want to know your top three for hot dogs we've had. Now, I told you they don't have to go together. They don't have to. Mm-hmm. You can just do your favorite toppings for a hot dog. Now, we've had people put them together. So, chili cheese and Nathan's mustard. From our buddy and number three ranked world professional eater, Nick Weary, came up with that one. Also had a chili cheese and onions with that one. But Bri, I want to know yours. What are your top three toppings? When you get a hot dog, what are your favorite things to put on a hot dog?
You're making me rethink my list a little bit here. Okay. So I broke it up. So I'm not including any sauces in mine, but if you're asking me my favorite sauces, mustard 3, barbecue sauce 2, ketchup 1. So I took the sauces out of there.
You're a ketchup guy on your hot dog then.
Ketchup number 1. Yep. And then if I don't have ketchup, I like mustard too. I'll do mustard, but typically mustard and ketchup go hand in hand. So that's why I was like, well, if I'm just going to have one, I kind of move barbecue sauce a little bit ahead of mustard. So yeah, I'm rethinking it because you brought up the Coney sauce. So I crossed up my number 3, which was bacon, and I'm putting Coney sauce there at number 1. And then I'm switching up again. My former number 1 is now moving to number 2, and it's cheese. Just because I'm thinking of, like, if I'm trying to judge these all individually. You know, if I can have I can have cheese and Coney sauce or cheese and bacon, that's probably the tops. But if I'm just judging it based, if I can do one on my hot dog, cheese will be number 2. And then my number 1, it's that time of year, going out on the golf course, grab a dog at the turn. A lot of times they'll have onions there. So put a little onions on there and then put a little mustard on there. And that's hard to beat for me. Chopped up onions, diced onions.
So now I got to go condiment wise first because we're taking condiment out. Okay. So condiment for me, number 1 is mustard. Okay. Just straight yellow mustard all the time. Number 2, stadium mustard. Stadium mustard or Bertman's. Don't care which one. And then finally, the last one is the spicy brown mustard for condiment.
All mustard.
All mustards. I do not put barbecue sauce or ketchup or anything on my hot dogs. Unless there's no mustards there. I am just a straight mustard guy on my hot dogs. Okay.
If I was going to rank my mustards, I would do it the inverse. I do
inverse spicy brown,
then stadium. Number 3 would be yellow mustard.
Okay. I get that. I just do yellow mustard because it's always in our fridge. You know, it's rare occasion that I get the Bertman's and all that stuff and it's in my fridge. And shout out to stadium mustard because it's, freaking amazing, Bri. You and I both agree with that.
Phenomenal.
All right. So now here we go. Now here is some condiments that you probably won't think of that are good on a hot dog, Bri, or toppings. Chili, of course. Chili is on there. Number 3. Number 2, coleslaw on top of, because we always, when I go to West Virginia, it is coney sauce, slaw, and that's how they serve. So it's mustard, coney sauce, slaw, and that's how they serve their hot dogs down there. And I love every minute of it because it's actually really good. Number one for me, though, Bri, is if I can get it, and not many people have it out, and it's one of those things that is relish. Dude, I love relish. You get a nice sweet relish on top of a hot dog. Now, don't get me wrong. Onions are on there, too. Honorable mention, sauerkraut on top of that one. You get a little sauerkraut dog, little kraut dog on top of that. But, man, there's just something about, like you said, going to a golf course. You got the squirt of the mustard, squirt the mustard, spoonful of relish, spoonful of onions, and you're out the door. And that's just, but I always love relish on a hot dog if I can get it. And if I can't get it, that's when I switch over to the slaw or the sauerkraut.
So to clarify, your number three was chili.
Number three was chili.
In your head, are chili and coney sauce different?
Yeah. It all depends on how people, because I think of coney sauce like chili.
Sure. To me, they're different because I would definitely want coney sauce on there. Chili, yeah, it's not bad, but definitely coney sauce over chili.
But see, that's so. Hold on. Do you like now we're getting into the chili a little bit. Do you like the Skyline chili with a little bit of cinnamon in it? Do you like that kind of chili
sauce? I do.
Okay. Yep. Because I don't like the cinnamon taste. Like if I'm wanting to get like I don't want sweet coney sauce. Like if I'm getting coney sauce, I want like you get the meat. It's pretty much just meat and sauce is what it is. Let's just be honest with what it is.
So basically it's what it comes down to
is Texas chili is what it is.
Right. A meat sauce or chili, which has beans and hunks of tomato in it. So like
you know something?
Which lane are you choosing?
I would go with the chili side because I'm okay with the coney sauce, but I still like the beans. Like when I'm That's how I make chili that way, Bri. I don't make it the other way. So, but I'll eat it. I mean, come on, Bri. Look at us. We'll eat it either way. It doesn't matter what it is.
Oh yeah, and I'll eat chili by itself. I will not eat coney sauce by itself. Like just I don't really now. Yeah, like you said, the Skyline chili. You put it on top of noodles and stuff like that. Then it's more palatable. But just. Yeah. Flat out eating coney sauce. I won't do that, but I will just eat chili because it's a little bit heartier. I don't know. It's just things in my head like this one is suitable for hot dogs. This one is suitable as a soup or a meal. And so, yeah,
when I make chili with my, normal with beans and onions and tomatoes and all that stuff, I'll put it on a hot dog. I'll put it on a bratwurst or an Italian sausage. I don't like coney sauce for me. Like when I go to West Virginia, it's coney sauce. Like there's no beans in it. It's just the meat sauce they put on it. And I get that. And I'm okay with that. I'll eat that. That's no problem. But like most of the time for us, like when I make a chili cheese dog, it's actually chili. It's not coney sauce. It's chili with the spread cheese on top, melted down, like the delicious. And that's because that's what we used when nobody wanted to eat the leftover chili. All right, we're making hot dogs tonight. We're making some chili cheese dogs.
Do you remember, shout out, you mentioned them already, the Top Dog Tailgate a couple years ago. Maybe one of the greatest things, the OBJ dog. God,
that thing was amazing.
Bacon, Louisiana hot sauce. I want to say cut up jalapenos and cut up onions maybe. Mm-hmm. Does that sound right? Really good.
Yeah, so it was a hot dog dipped. It was a deep fried hot dog dipped into the Louisiana hot sauce, put on the bun, and it was their jalapeno relish that they made. So it was jalapenos, sweet onions, and I think some little bit of relish on top. And then you could top it off. Like I topped mine off with mustard. But man, that jalapeno relish, that was some good stuff, buddy. I could have eaten that with just a fork. That was so good. But like the combination they put together with that one, like we had to try it. And we found the guy that did it, the creator of the whole thing. He goes, nope, you do it like this. And he did it for both of us. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Man, that was good. We got to do that again. What are you going on? Well, you might have a baby then. Never mind. Never mind. I would say, what are you doing on May 4th? But you're probably going to have a baby then.
We'll see.
We'll see. If not, you know, you want to go tailgate with me?
I'm always down for a tailgate.
All right, I'll give you a call. All right, Bri, trivia. We'll close out the show. Right now, I need two other teams besides Alabama that have won a playoff game and been in the Final Four, correct?
You got it.
All right, Michigan.
Oh, Michigan is one. Oh, Michigan, Alabama. So you need one more.
LSU?
No. Good guess, though. Ooh. Really good guess.
That was LSU. Did Clemson make a Final Four?
No. But they almost did this year. They made Elite Eight, I think. Another good guess.
Is it a West Coast team?
It is a West Coast team.
Washington.
Not Washington. Also a good guess. Think back to Ohio State 2014-2015.
All Oregon. Oregon made a Final Four, huh?
Yep. Okay. In 2017.
Oh, this might have been shit, Dylan Brooks. Right. That is right. Okay, yep. Great. Dude, that's an amazing trivia.
Yeah.
Like, I knew Michigan. I
screenshot them. And it was, the one I saw was from, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago, so didn't even include Alabama. So it was kind of coincidence that it actually happened again this year.
No kidding. That's awesome. Like, I knew Michigan was one of them. I wouldn't have guessed Alabama. Well, I would have guessed Alabama because this year.
Because this year, like, right.
Very yeah, recent. But, like, Oregon, you don't think of Oregon as, a premier basketball. That's why I was trying to think of like a West Coast team like Washington Huskies. They sound like they would be a, you know. All right. That's great trivia, bud.
Well, yeah. Sure.
All right. Like I said, please go help out City Dogs. Kennels are full. Please help them empty out. If you cannot adopt, please volunteer and donate. They will take anything you guys got. Bri, thank you for a great night tonight. What a great show. Catch us on Network 216, YouTube at Ham Illegal. Pretty much everything is at Ham Illegal. Facebook, all that stuff. Bri has turned out to be TikTok famous for a little bit right now because we do have a TikTok channel. So go check that out. Please give us a like, subscribe, 5 stars if you can. On that note, Bri, we want to thank our troops, first responders for everything you guys do. Thank you guys so much for what you do to let us do what we're doing right here. We can't thank you enough. And on that note, Bri, God bless him.
God bless you. God bless America.
All right. We are Legal Ham to the Face. We are definitely uncorked, unloaded. We're out. See ya.